I just stood and undid my shoelace. Good start. And I'm going risky tonight. I've decided to do a Chris, and I'm going to use the iPad, going sustainable. Thankfully, I don't yet have a 7-year-old daughter who's going to FaceTime me halfway through the sermon, but that's all right. Although my daughter or son-to-be, I don't know, that wasn't a thing. I got a lovely card this morning in the mail from my child-to-be. It's not only learned how to write, it's learned how to use our postal system, so it's very advanced. We'll be calling Mensa as soon as the due date occurs. Anyway, welcome everyone to our brand new series on Hot Topics. Like I said, we're going to be talking about a lot of different topics that might make you uncomfortable, might be too hot to handle, might be quite controversial. And we've got a bunch of different speakers who will be speaking to us over the next few weeks on issues like alcohol and pornography and immigration and things like that. So we hope that you enjoy it. But tonight we're going to be talking about dating. I want to run through the what, the why, the when, the who, and the how of dating. And I hope that there will be a very practical session for everyone here tonight. But before we begin, who here has seen the movie, because I always love to use a movie, as you guys know, Mr. Peabody and Sherman? Yeah, it's a great film. I'd highly recommend watching it. It's full of puns, so it's my kind of movie, and I've been practicing puns in preparation for becoming a dad. Okay, as an aside, I heard the funniest thing the other day. Okay, this isn't written down and Phoebe will kill me. But but the person who came up with the idea, who's heard of the dad bod? Yeah, the dad bod. Whoever came up with that term really missed the mark. They should have called it the father figure. I loved it. Anyway, Mr. Peabody and Sherman. Okay, here's a clip from it. So Mr. Peabody is the super smart dog. He's sort of like the master. And Sherman is his adopted son. And they're trying to escape from the Sphinx where they've been trapped. So let's watch this clip.
It appears the boats of Ra are the key to our escape.
Aha.
Quickly, Sherman. Careful, Sherman.
It's a booby trap. One wrong step and we're done for.
The boat of Ra sails straight today. Take the wrong boat, man will pay. All right, Sherman, now it's your turn.
The boat of Ra sails straight today. Play. I mean pay.
Oh, my.
Uh-oh.
Run! Ah! Sherman, get in the boat. Sherman?
Peabody!
What are you doing over there?
I thought you pointed to this one!
Hang on!
Ah! Oh.
Sherman, are you all right?
I'm good.
All right. So, if you haven't seen it, that's your first application point for tonight. Go and watch Mr. Peabody and Sherman. But seriously, why would I show you that clip and what does that have to do with dating? Well, I think that a basic intention for all of us here is to live a meaningful life. And we want to live lives that are like the way that we think God intends us to live. But we all struggle to do that. And in that clip, we had Mr. Peabody, the really smart dog who works out how to cross from one side of the trap to the other and knows which boat to get into at the end. He's sure of himself. He knows his footing and he knows the steps. And so we all want to be like Mr. Peabody, sure of our steps and knowing not what to do. But unfortunately, none of us are like Mr. Peabody. We're all like Sherman. We see the master go ahead of us. He tells us how to live, how to survive, where to go and what to do, what steps to take so we don't fall into a trap, but we often fall short. And destruction generally follows in our path. Now, usually we don't do this deliberately. We don't go out with the intention of causing harm and destruction. We don't deliberately want to cause these issues, but it still happens. And I think that we can minimize the damage by learning more about the master's intentions. And that's what tonight and really the whole purpose of our evening service really is, for you to get to know the master, to get closer to Jesus, to become immersed in God's word and discover God's will for how to live your life. And if you do that, then joy, not chaos and destruction, will follow. Now, the elephant in the room, some of you might be thinking, oh, great, the married guy is going to talk to me about dating. And I had to wrestle with this, whether or not I was the best person to give this message, because I felt like Satan was saying to me, well, you can't talk to them about dating, especially with how badly you dated yourself. You'll be a hypocrite. But then God came and he said to me, well, yes, you can talk to them. You redeemed your dating, and I'm going to use your story to help the youth and young adults here redeem dating as well. And one of the best tips for singles and for those who are dating, for those who aren't married, is to learn from the mistakes of others so you don't make them yourself. So from the outset tonight, I want to say that if I give a principle about dating tonight and you feel that you haven't met that principle in the past, or you feel perhaps you're not meeting it now, then I don't want you to be feeling bad, okay? God doesn't want you to feel condemned. It's unlikely that you've done something that I didn't. And my goal tonight is for all of us here to either continue honoring God in our relationships, to honor God in your relationships when you get into one, or to, like what eventually happened to me, to stop what you're currently doing and start honoring God in your relationships. And as a basic principle with regards to all preaching, if you do disagree with something that the person up the front says, try and work out whether or not you disagree because they've interpreted the Bible wrong, or if you disagree because it means you might have to change. They're two very different motivations. So for tonight, I want to run through the what, the why, the when, the who, and the how of dating. And I want to run through what I think I see the world saying with regards to an aspect of dating, and then give you a biblical principle which, spoiler alert, will probably run contrary to what the world is saying. So why do we want to talk about this? Why talk about dating at all? Well, I think it's because God's goal is for you not to have a broken heart. It's not God's intention for you to regret a relationship. If God had his way, then Taylor Swift probably wouldn't have a musical career. Or if she did, she'd probably be singing about some different things. See, God loves you more than I love you, more than your best friend loves you, more than your partner loves you, and even more than you love you. So you know that if he tells you to do something, it's for your own good, even if it doesn't make sense now. Now, each one of these aspects of dating really deserves its own message, and we'll probably do a series around this next year. But I only have about 30 minutes to give you what I think is a biblical foundation for dating, which is like no time at all. So you can discuss it more in small groups or after the service together later. And I'm also going to have to use some generalizations regarding what the world says. I'm more than happy for you to disagree with the generalizations. I was really just going off my own experience and my own lens of seeing the world. So let's start with what dating is. Now, unsurprisingly, dating is not mentioned in the Bible, because dating in the form that we know it has only been around for about 100 to 120 years. Now, that might surprise you. I know it surprised me when I first learned it, but over the last 120 years, dating as we know it has evolved into what it is now. Now, initially, it is believed to have begun as a slang word for prostitution. If you don't believe me, then go look it up, that you'd go for a date. It's the history of dating. Now, do I believe still that the dating should be correlated to prostitution? No. I believe that it's evolved and it's changed for the most part. But my concern is that, like everything, it can change in both directions. And more dating in the world is becoming about finding someone that you can have sex with. Dating has evolved into what sociologists call the hookup culture. Often today, people don't date, they hook up. And these changes have been driven by advances in technology, because initially, at the start of the 20th century, a man would, with the permission of the parents, go around to the woman's house and get to know her emotionally and intellectually under the supervision of her parents. But then along came the car, and that meant that people could pick up the girl, and they'd drive away somewhere secluded, rebelling against this norm, and it continues to evolve today. The ability to connect immediately online means that you don't even need to be driven anywhere to be able to be alone with another person. And this is dangerous because God gave us community to help protect us. And when you're alone, whispering sweet nothings to one another, you're in a dangerous situation. So does this mean that we should just throw dating out of the window? No, but I think the challenge is to think biblically about something that isn't in the Bible. We need to take biblical principles and apply them. See, there's nothing in the Bible about using your mobile phone, but we can still apply biblical principles to that activity. For example, watch what you say to one another. In the same way, we take dating and we apply biblical principles to it. For example, Jesus tells us that our two greatest commandments are to love God and to love your neighbor. How can we apply these principles into dating? So to start with, what is dating? Well, here's Wikipedia's definition, so you know it must be true. Dating is a part of the human mating process whereby two people meet socially for companionship beyond the level of friendship or with the aim of each assessing the other's suitability as a partner in an intimate relationship or marriage. Doesn't that sound attractive? But for the most part, I think it's okay. We can use that. We're assessing each other's suitability as a partner, which leads us into the why would you want to date? And I think this is the most important part. I got the who I dated wrong. I got the when I dated wrong. And I got the how I dated wrong because I got the why I dated wrong. And the way I'm going to set this up on the screen is that the world is going to be on the left. What the world says is going to be on the left and what the Bible says is on the right. And I want us to swipe left on the worldviews and swipe right on the Bible. Now, if the person next to you laughed at that, then pray for them now. For those of you... For those of you who are holy and sanctified in this room, swiping left is something that you do in the Tinder dating app when you want to reject someone, and swiping right is what you want to do when you want to find out more, apparently. And I think there's a few reasons why we see the world telling us to date. I'll put up here some of the reasons that I wanted to date, including... because my friends were doing it. Sorry, it's really small, bad. Lots of that to fit in. Because my friends were doing it. I know that I wanted to date because some of my friends were, and I didn't want to be left out. Because I wanted to feel wanted. Everyone wants to feel wanted, and dating can show you that you are special. I want you to want me, and I need you to need me. And because I wanted to be with someone physically. Ah, raging hormones. Fun times. And I had these desires, and they needed to be met. And there's probably more. You might have some reasons yourself that aren't on the list. But what do I think is the Christian reason for dating? Well, we need to remember that God invented marriage, we invented dating. So we need to remember that the purpose that God has in two people coming together romantically is that they'll be joined together in marriage. That marriage is the finish line that God invented for romantic pairings. So based from this, I think that the Christian reason for wanting to date someone is to find someone who is suitable for marriage. Now, don't get me wrong, this is a reason that we see people outside of the Christian church wanting to date as well, and that's why I've put it on that side too. But unfortunately, that reason tends to get mixed in with all the other reasons and gets relegated down the ladder in regards to importance. So the Christian reason for dating is to find someone you can potentially marry. That needs to be the ultimate reason. And that means that I think if you're not in a relationship with the intention to get married, then you're not dating for the right reasons biblically. Because remember, motivation is huge. God looks at our hearts. Why do we want to do this? God says in 1 Samuel 16:7, people look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So what is your motivation for dating? Is it just to have a good time, to meet your own needs of not wanting to be left out? Is it wanting to be wanted or wanting to be satisfied physically? Or are you dating because you actually want to one day get married to that person? So that's the first question for tonight. Why are you dating? Why do you want to date? And let's now move on to the when. Let's say you have the why down. You are determined that you want to date someone for the right reason. When can you start dating? Well, this is what I think the world says. Start dating as soon as you can. And that ties into the why of dating. If your friends are doing it, or if you have these wants and desires, then meet those needs as soon as possible. Because dating becomes to you like what dinner becomes to someone who is hungry. When you're hungry, your desire is to be full, to be satisfied, so you have dinner and that desire will be met. When you are lonely or seeing what others have and you want it, well, that's just a physical need for release. That's just another desire. So find someone and use them to have that desire met. And I think that the problem with this is it takes away from the real seriousness of relationships. It focuses on the short-term relief of the appetite or the desire that you have at the time, and it doesn't take into account that when you are in a dating relationship, you are with someone else and the stakes are high. You are holding the other person's heart in your hands. It's not just another appetite like hunger because someone else is involved, and the consequences of your actions are much greater. See, Proverbs 19:2 says that desire without knowledge is not good, and whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. In other words, you can have a strong desire, but if you do not have the maturity or the knowledge to know how to date well, then you're likely to slip up. And the best analogy I've heard is that a lot of us, when it comes to dating, are like babies with machine guns. We aren't really mature enough to use it properly, and people are going to get hurt, and we'll only really realize the consequences when we're older. But seriously though, most of us here have learned the hard way that when relationships end, people get hurt. Relationships are serious business, and I've had a few bad breakups because I wasn't mature enough to date appropriately. And as we know, and as you've been a friend, I'm sure, to many people, nobody cries like the brokenhearted. See, I had the why down wrong, which meant that I did the when too soon. So what do I think is the biblical principle then? Well, there's a book in the Bible called The Song of Songs. It's quite an explicit book. In fact, Chris once called it the 50 Shades of Grey book in the Bible. And it has this verse. Do not arouse or awaken love before its time. In fact, it's so integral to the Bible, it's repeated 3 times. Meaning that there is a time for love to be awoken, to wake up. And using the principle from the previous section, I would say that that time is when you are ready to get married. Otherwise, we need to go back to the why you are dating. Now, we tend to focus a lot around the issue of age and what age should you start dating. But probably the bigger thing to focus on is maturity. There's a Bible verse in 1 Corinthians 13 where Paul says, "When I was a child, I talked like a child and I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me." He's saying that dating is not a thing for children, it's for adults. And this means that you need to get yourself into order first and then start looking to date others. Have you sought God first? See, I know quite a few people who are teenagers who are extremely mature Christians knew that the purpose of dating was marriage, and so they dated with great intentionality. Don't get hung up on the age, focus on maturity. A friend of mine didn't start dating anyone until he was 29. He did not have his first girlfriend until he was 29. Now, depending on how important you view dating and your worldview, you're probably either thinking, that's amazing, or that's insane, or that's amazingly insane. But I'm telling you, he used that time to get his life in order. He spent that time working on his relationship with God. And Phoebe and I had the great pleasure of going to his wedding. And he wasn't standing in front of his beautiful bride going, if only I'd jumped in earlier, if only I'd had more girlfriends in the past and played the field a bit more. No, instead, he started dating when he was ready, when God put the right girl in front of him. Because remember, sinner plus sinner does not equal less sin. You need to be focusing on yourself. How are you going in your walk with God? You don't need to be perfect. Otherwise, none of us would ever get to date. But are you drawing closer to God? And have you talked to other mature Christians about dating? Do they think that you're ready to date? Okay, so let's just say you're in a space where you're walking well with God, you know why you want to date, and you've chatted to other mature Christians, and they think that you're in a good space to date. The question then moves on to, who should you date? Now, this is what I think the world says with regards to who you should date, that whoever you feel like, especially someone who is hot. And what do I think the Bible says? That you should only date other Christians. And I think this is probably the clearest principle. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers." Now, yoked isn't a word that we use too often today. I haven't used it much today except for now. But view it in terms of, do not be unequally joined with an unbeliever. And think of it this way. If dating's like a three-legged race, imagine if one person wants to run left and the other person wants to run right. It doesn't work. And that's what happens when you decide to date a non-Christian. And the premise behind this passage is that your faith should be the most important thing in your life. It should be the highest shared interest that you have. And if you don't share that interest, then you're setting yourself up to fail. Perhaps not immediately, but eventually. See, Christianity is running left. You're racing after Jesus. Everything else is running right. Racing after whatever that need is at the time. So you might have other shared interests, but that won't sustain a relationship, particularly if you're dating biblically and looking to get married. And I know that narrows the pool a little bit, but I think we should go further. A Christian is not just someone who comes to church. A Christian is not just someone who can quote a few Bible verses at you. You want to date someone who is a fully devoted follower of Christ, someone who is actively pursuing after Christ. Are they being discipled? How involved in the church are they? Do they know the gospel? Now, I feel like the cautionary whale in the sermon because I was not a good person to be dating when Phoebe started dating me. See, I was coming to church But my reasons for dating were not as pure as they should have been. Like, I knew Bible verses. I had John 3:16 down. But when it came to dating, when it came to my physical attraction with the opposite sex, those Bible verses went out the window. God went out the window. So you need to be looking. What fruit do you see in their life? Do you see love flowing out of them? Not just for you, but for others as well. See, everybody is always on their best behavior around the person they're interested in. Fake it until you make it. But how are they around your friends? What do those in the church think of them? How do they treat their family? How do they treat others, especially when things are falling down? Are they forgiving? I think that's a huge one. You want to one day marry someone who is forgiving. As someone who needs a lot of forgiveness often, trust me on that. The attraction needs to be on the inside as well as the outside. You want to be attracted to their love for Christ and their character. And Proverbs 31:30 says that charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. In other words, someone can be charming for a short period of time. They can put on the old charm, but it won't last. And beauty is fleeting. We're all getting uglier physically, some of us faster than others. You can't base your relationship on physical attractiveness because it's fleeting. It'll fade. But someone who fears the Lord is to be praised. This means someone who loves the Lord, who is in awe of the Lord, is to be praised. That's what you're after, both men and women. Now, is it possible to fall madly and deeply in love with a non-Christian? Absolutely. But we need to think long term. What happens when you get married and you need to work out your finances and you feel God is calling you to tithe? By the way, tithely, get on it. But the other person doesn't even believe in God, let alone tithing. Or what about when you have kids? How are you going to raise them? Or what about just in your day-to-day life? Like, you might want to go to church and your partner won't understand why you want to be apart from them. Or what if God is calling you somewhere on a missions trip? Is your partner likely to pack up and leave on the calling of a God that they don't even believe in? And I often think that the non-Christians that I chat to about this get this better than we do sometimes. See, my goal from this message is not to teach you how to find someone just to have a good time with, but I want you to find someone to have a good life with. So my suggestion to people is, and I've heard this advice before, run as fast as you can after God. If someone catches up, then ask them out. You want to be dating someone who is chasing after Jesus just like you are. Okay, so we've dealt with the what, we've dealt with the why, we've dealt with the when, and we've dealt with the who of dating. Let's now talk about the how. You're ready to date. And the question is, well, how do you do it in a way that honors God and honors the person you are dating? I want to give you my top four tips on how to date if you're in a relationship or you're looking to start a relationship. And they're fairly non-specific. You'll need to apply them to your circumstances, but I'm hoping that they'll be helpful. Tip number one is to be intentional. Be clear and honest with regards to what you see dating as and why you want to date someone. As an example, there is nothing worse than a person wondering whether or not they are in a relationship. Define your intentions early on, otherwise it's confusing and emotionally messy. See, the world will tell you just to be vague, to go along for the ride, just see how it goes. And who's experienced this? Like, maybe personally, or maybe you've seen friends go through it. You've asked them the question, so are you guys dating? Like, I'm not sure. We'll see. I don't think that's good. But what about this, though? I'm really enjoying getting to know you, and I'd like to keep doing that if you're comfortable with that. See, both people know what's going on now. Don't string people along. Be honest and be clear. The book of James tells us to make sure that our yeses are yes and our noes are noes. If the person isn't someone who you want to date at this time, or there isn't the spark that you're expecting, then that's fine, but it's best to end it sooner rather than later. As Christians, be honest as to why you don't want to date that person. Don't lie. Like, say if you have differing beliefs. Say if you have different expectations from a relationship. Say if you don't think they're running fast enough after Jesus. Either date or don't date. Don't half date. And if you are dating, then be honest with one another. You may have never really discussed out loud to one another where you see dating going with each other. Have you told the other person out loud that it's your intention that one day you want to be married to one another? You'll also need to confess to one another. Now, don't be crazy and do it on the first date, but if you're giving your heart to someone else and they're giving their heart to you, then they deserve to know what they're getting. And if they're truly following Christ, then they'll be forgiving as well. You need to date intentionally, and you need to date clearly and honestly. And that's my first tip. Tip number two is to respect one another's individual value as children of God. See, each one of you are dating one of God's children, or one day you will be, and you need to treat them that way. And this includes respecting each other's ability to make their own choices in their lives. See, the world will tell you to be the one who takes control in a relationship. Don't be whipped. Be a man. That's what I heard more than a few times. Guys, if she's not your wife, she's your sister in Christ. You don't have a claim to her. She isn't your woman. And you are called to treat her in all purity. And that's what 1 Timothy 5 says. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. And it obviously works the same the other way around too, with women in the way in which you should treat guys. Now, I get this can be difficult. Because when you're dating, there's this tension between her being your sister when you want her to be your wife, which sounds very Tasmanian. But until you get married, she's not your wife, he is not your husband, whatever it may be, and therefore you need to treat each other with respect. So say someone else is currently dating your future spouse. How would you like that person to treat them? How are you currently treating each other? And I tell you what, I treated my girlfriends far better when they were around their dads than when we were alone. I feared their dads more than I feared God. I respected their value as a daughter of their dads more than I did their value as a daughter of God. So are you respecting one another's individual value as children of God when you're dating? My next tip is to date one another with all purity, to flee sexual immorality, which I'll get to in a second. But the big question that people, particularly Christians, always ask is, well, how far is too far in a relationship? And we focus really hard on how far physically someone can go, and we love to toe that line. Can I do this? Is this a technicality that I can get around? And it's a question that we focus way too much in a relationship on, particularly because, spoiler alert, you're going to spend 99% of your lives together not having sex. But anyway, this is how I see the world answering the question of how far is too far. Go as far as you feel comfortable. Now, the issue with this is often one person will feel more comfortable going further than the other. And so the relationship becomes one of, well, how can I convince the other person in the relationship to go further physically in the relationship to where I feel comfortable? So the best thing is, and this is what I see as the big application point for all those who are in a relationship, but the best thing that you can do if you're in a relationship and you feel that you have not been honoring God is to say, God, I know that I have not been honoring you, and I know that I have not been honoring my partner, and today I'm going to change that. Today I'm going to fix my eyes on you, and I'm going to honor you. See, the best thing that ever happened for Phoebe in my relationship is that one day Phoebe did that. She got the courage to sit down with me and say that she didn't think we were honoring God or each other with the way in which we were conducting ourselves, and that we needed to change our behavior. Now, was it easy for us after we had that conversation? No. And did we always do it perfectly? No. But did we do it better? Yes. Did we honor God more and each other more? Yes. But it's much easier to do this, and this is why we're having these messages, and this is why I wish I had this message before I started dating, but particularly for those of you who aren't in a relationship at the moment, it's much easier to have this conversation at the start of your relationship. And that's what purity in a relationship is all about. And I think we can all agree that God's call for purity in a relationship is greater than what we all want. And so we need to help each other out in the relationship, try and live it. And this ties deeply into those two previous points. Be intentional, be respectful, define your boundaries now and hold each other accountable to them. So you might be scared of having that conversation with one another. Personally, I'm scared of what to think of what might have happened had Phoebe not had the courage to sit down and have that conversation with me. So what do I see as the Bible saying is too far? Well, the Bible tells us to flee sexual immorality in 1 Corinthians 6:18. It's not telling us to toe the line with sexual immorality. It's not telling us to work out the technicalities. is telling us to flee from it. Now, the Greek word for sexual immorality is porneia. So just based off how we use that word today, you can get a good idea of what it's talking about what the Bible is telling you to flee from. It's about acting sexually before the right time in any way. And I like to view it in light of that Song of Songs passage from earlier as well, about not arousing love before its time. It's saying that you should not be putting yourself into a situation where you're aroused or acting sexually before the appropriate time, which the Bible says is marriage. Don't awaken your passion before the right time. And that sex is God's wedding gift, and he gives it to those in marriage for a reason. And it's to join two people together, like how Jesus joins himself together to us forever when we become Christians. Now, if that means that you can't be alone together, then you shouldn't be alone together. Phoebe and I found that even just watching movies together was a challenge for us. And you're probably thinking, well, that means that I can't do anything then. And perhaps if that's where you're at, you might need to be around some people more so you can honor each other and God more. But dating provides you with the ultimate opportunity to test your faith. Are you more committed to loving and honoring God, or are you more interested in loving and honoring yourself? Now, I know which one I was more interested in, and I don't want you guys to make the same mistakes that I did. Now, is there anything more countercultural than this? I don't think so. And I'm under no illusions that this is hard, that following Jesus is hard. But I think that you either see him as God, in which case you follow what he says because you want to be satisfied in him, or you don't see him as God. You see yourself and your needs as God, and in which case your focus is to satisfy yourself. Remember Jesus' top rules: to love God and to love your neighbor, to love one another, to respect one another, and to treat one another with purity. All right, here's my final tip, and it's by far the most important. Do this and everything else will fall into place. See, the world will tell you to pursue yourself and your own pleasures. The biggest selling books in the world are self-help books. But my final tip for those who are dating is to pursue after God individually and together. Now, that may sound cliche and very churchy, but remember that the goal of dating is marriage. The goal of marriage is to help one another grow in Christ-likeness. If you aren't doing that in your relationship, do you expect to do that in your marriage? See, God has a purpose for you. God has a meaning for your life. God has a meaning for you to be in a relationship, and it's not just to have sex. It's not for you to not be alone, and it's not for you to feel wanted. The truth is that if you chase after God, then you will experience a greater intimacy than you can get from sex. You will never be alone because he's promised to never leave nor forsake us. And you'll always feel wanted because God has told us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We're not an accident. We are wanted and God has a purpose for us. See, if you are in a relationship, the goal is not to replace God as the source of this intimacy. You cannot outlove God, and your partner cannot be God for you, and you cannot be God for your partner. But if you are in a relationship, the goal is to help one another experience more and more of the love that comes from God. And you'll find that as you do that, you'll fall more and more in love with each other. So as I finish up, here's the challenge for each of you in a dating relationship, or for if you one day want to get into a dating relationship. Each time you meet, are you leaving the person that you are dating better than when you found them? Have you helped them grow close to God each time you meet them? And would you say that them catching up with you was an honoring time to God? I don't think I did that at all for any of my past relationships, and I regret it. But God redeemed my relationship with Phoebe, and we now help each other grow every day, and it's so much better. And he can do it with yours too. So as we finish up tonight, a reminder, and this is important, that the great thing about being a Christian is that you are not defined by your past. See, I've had to deal with all of this myself. I have to remind myself all the time that even though I've done things that I regret, I cannot be separated from the love of God that is found in Jesus Christ. So you might be struggling with some things. You might want some help in some areas. It might be in dating. It might be in something else. But either way, get help and get support. That's what being a church is all about. You're not alone in this church. And if the person that you chat to is truly following Christ, then you won't be judged. But here's the good news. Every single person here can leave rejecting what the world says. rejecting why the world says we date, rejecting when the world says we should date, rejecting who the world says we should date, and rejecting how the world says we should date. Now, how do we do that? Well, we do it by choosing Jesus. If you want a loving relationship, if you want a relationship that's honoring to God, that will bring you the most joy, then you start with your relationship with Jesus. Start with your relationship with Jesus. How are you going with him? And then and only then will you have the power to be able to redeem your dating. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you that you came into the world to fix all the brokenness, all the hurt, and to redeem all things. And I thank you that you are enough for each and every one of us, but that you also give some of us the gift of relationships. And I pray that we will honor you in all our relationships with one another, whether they are a dating relationship or a married relationship or a friendship with one another. I pray that you'll transform our hearts and our minds to your will. And I just pray for each and every person here tonight that they would know your love, Lord. I pray all these things in your holy name. Amen.